So the Braves moved to Milwaukee March 13th of 1953. And that's when your recollections are beginning to come in place.
Right.
By the way, we should say in Boston, he had just opened a restaurant, hadn't he?
Yes.
Do you remember what that was about?
It was a little diner. He had no idea the Braves were about to move and got into it right before they moved. So obviously it didn't work to run it remote like that.
They say the motto for the restaurant was the best in baseball, the best in food. The move from Boston into Milwaukee, did your dad like that? Did he enjoy Milwaukee?
Yes. He had reservation leaving Boston because he really liked Boston. But the city of Milwaukee was so hungry for baseball that they were treated royally. The ball club was extremely happy to be there.
Milwaukee would have been considered a blue-collar town like Buffalo.
Right.
And that's where he felt real comfortable. So that was a great match for
him. Yes.
He was 21 and 12 in 1954 and 17 and 14 in 1955. Eddie Matthews, I understood, signed for $6,000. The Dodgers would have signed him for $50,000, but he stayed with Milwaukee. That's pretty amazing, isn't
it? Yeah, it is amazing.
Because he felt comfortable there.
He probably saw the future.
Right. Wasn't Eddie Matthews kind of a party animal, too?
Yes. Well, I never saw that side of him, but that's one of the things that people always talk about. But I'm telling you that he was someone that nobody wanted to mess with. I was so proud to have him at third base protecting my father.
Yeah.
Because things happen in baseball. And on the other side was Joe Adcock, who was about 6'4". He was a big man. So Dad had some protectors on both sides of the bags.
Lou Burdette became his buddy, but he actually came over from the Yankees in a trade for Johnny Sane. And
right.
So that's how Lou Burdette came over there. And then they became a great righty-lefty combo. So in 1957, you're 9 years old.
Right.
Your dad is 36 years old, and he wins the first Cy Young Award.
Right. The Cy Young now is given one to each league. Back then, it was one period. I think he came in second and third a ton of times. You can imagine, Dad won 20 games 13 times, and he only has one Cy Young.
Yeah. Why is that?
It's just that there were always pitchers that would win 20 or more games and then fade off, and Dad was there constantly.
Major League Baseball put together a list of the top 10 left-handed pitchers. Number one was Lefty Grove. Others had more wins, but Grove won his 300th game in his final start of his career, but in other areas he was unparalleled. So he's number one. And who's number two? Warren Spahn. The top 10, and he's number two, and they say nobody was as good for as long as Spahn, who won 363 games, tops among lefties. Then it goes on, he led the league in strikeouts four times, won four World Series games, and had two career no-hitters. Then you have beneath him Randy Johnson, Sandy Koufax, Whitey Ford, Steve Carlton, Carl Hubbell, Tom Glavine, Eddie Plank, and yes, Babe Ruth. They're the top 10, and your father's number two. Does that make you feel good?
I think he should be number one.
Right.
He's got more wins than any other left-hander. He's still the winningest pitcher since 1930.
Yes, you're right. From the live ball era, which is actually 1920, to the present time, most wins, Warren Spahn, 363, right or left-hand pitcher, didn't make any difference. And the most shutouts, Warren Spahn, 63. And then the most complete games, Warren Spahn, 382. But then as we're looking at the record, Cy Young overall had the most career wins, 511, and most losses, however, too, at 316. That was Cy Young. But Warren Spahn standing out from 1920 on to the present time.